America and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another episode of Let's Weekend, the show where we will not ask you, do you know the way? Because we fucking hate that meme.
And most memes that don't die after 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. I, of course, am your host for the most, Brian Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi.
Good day.
Yeah, they're there. They're currently alive, I'm guessing.
Most
of them. I can't see them. Mm. Anyway, so this episode is going to be for January 26, 2018, last show of the month. And, yeah, so some shit kind of happened, as usual. Apparently, we are now living in an Iron Maiden song because it's officially 2 minutes to midnight.
Yeah. Well, it ticked again over a few months ago, and now then it went back down, but now it's back again.
Yeah. We're also apparently now having to do with Burger King, of all people, teaching people about net neutrality.
And doing a good job.
Yeah. Yes, they actually succeeded. That's
doing a better job than most people have.
Yeah. And also, we've realized now that it's generally not a good idea to hire robots to help customers in your place of business if they're scary.
Yeah.
Did we get accidental Five Nights?
Yeah, kind of.
More or less.
And also, apparently, the XFL is going to be coming back. But, and it's going to not have all the gimmicks either.
Hmm.
Which, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, is going to be up to you to decide. But we'll get to all that and more later. Right now, before we start all of that, we will start as we usually do. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I got the second book in the Bobaverse series.
Mm-hmm.
It's called For We Are Many. Yeah, I think Dennis E. Taylor is a bit of a hockey fan, because I just met the chief of security, and his name is, he's a Quebecer, with his name being Stéphane Brodeur. So, yeah. Don't know where he could have gotten that name. But anyways. So far, good. Still a good series. It's still very witty, very humorful, and scientifically very interesting. So yeah, check that out if you haven't checked that series out yet. It's very well worth it. Apart from that, well, been doing some other things this week, working a little bit on the site. I think I got the searching kind of where we want it to be, so that's good. Also started learning in earnest PHP. So that I can get deeper into, you know, the inner workings of WordPress, which will benefit both Smashpad and World Warriors. So that's going to be good. My online course is going well, so continue to go through that, and hopefully that will also help me with getting a job in the future as well. So, you know, all good things there. And we got a little blue budgie, and he's adorable. Just cool. Thought I'd throw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's sleeping right now, so that's a good thing. So that's why you're not hearing him. But, yeah, I like birds, as you might imagine. And we had a cat that didn't work out so well. Turns out I'm allergic. Not so much to birds. So cool. That's good there.
What breed is he?
I actually couldn't tell you because I wasn't there.
Is he? No, I meant the bird.
Yeah, well, he's a budgie.
Oh, okay, a budgie. Okay, yeah. I forget.
Yeah. It's a nice little bird. Wakes me up in the morning, but that's okay. Acts as my alarm clock, so. Beyond that, yeah, it's kind of been my week. I haven't had a chance to catch up on the Grand Tour or Mythbusters yet, but I've got those in the queue, and I'll probably catch up on those over the weekend. So looking forward to that. So how about you, Pat?
Also working on World Warriors stuff. The more I get into this, the more I feel like we're getting ready to really pull back the curtain on what we're really up to with this site. And I'm really excited. A certain feature that's going to serve as more or less the site's backbone is getting bigger and bigger by the day, and I'm just really looking forward to showing it to everybody, because this is something that the fighting game community doesn't really have at this point. And hopefully it takes off, because I think it'll be a really valuable resource once it does. Mm. Other than that, I've been following Evo Japan as much as I can. It's going on right now, actually. We're in day two as I speak. And I looked in on a little bit of the Street Fighter V tournament before I had to pass out last night. And I'll be back at that today. Other than that, UPS has failed me. Because I have Amazon Prime. I pre-ordered Dragon Ball FighterZ. Looking at the shipping history, and I showed this to you guys as well. They got it to my hometown and then decided to punt to the post office about 4 hours after the trucks had left for their routes. And it is currently 7:15 p.m. The site still swears up and down that it will be here by 8. I don't know how they're going to pull that one off, but yeah, that's where we're at right now. So I just had to take a moment and bitch about that.
Yeah, UPS could be really, really irritating. I especially love when you arrange a pickup and they just don't bother showing up. That's always great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Chris, what about you?
So I have been watching some Dragon Ball Super, catching up on the English dubs, mm-hmm. which included the end of the first tournament arc.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of fighting with these purple dudes.
Nice Easter egg there.
Yeah. And then the introduction of the next arc, which I guess involves Future Trunks. And a new villain, I guess. That seems interesting, though the most recent episode just stops at his introduction, so I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. Also been playing some stuff like Saints Row 4 on the PS4, the re-elected edition. Basically at the part where it's just Crackdown, I'm just jumping around collecting their version of the orbs, which is still really fun, and it actually runs well now, unlike the last gen versions, which just ran like shit.
Yeah.
That was an era at the end of last gen where publishers were just basically saying, we wanted to look as close to the PC version as we can, damn the performance.
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah, that led to games like Saints Row 4, Far Cry, and some others that just did not run that well. Though they look pretty good, I would have sacrificed that just to have it run better. But yeah, it's been fun to jump back into that. And also been playing some more Assassin's Creed Origins. I played a good bit of this and ran into a fun glitch. Let's see if I can... I have the playlist on Xbox DVR that shows most of it, where essentially I'm in one of the pyramids, the secret room they have in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I find like a little opening, and it's like, oh, can I crawl through this? Yes, but I'm not supposed to, because it sends me into this big glitched area inside that lets you see much of the world outside. It's pretty crazy.
Mm.
As I just try and navigate this whole place, because you can kind of navigate it just like normal, except there's just big glitched empty areas, which was pretty fun. But once I got out of that, it just killed me at a certain point, where I was just kind of hanging in the air. And it's like, yeah, you've had enough fun here. We're going to kick you out.
Yeah, the game engine went, wait, you're not supposed to be here. Goodbye.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I just did a bunch of other stuff in the game. I decided to try to venture out into parts of the big open world map that the quests don't ask you to, and that's a bad idea. So I went back to the opening area in Siwa and sort of went north, I guess. Found some areas where it's just enemies with red skulls instead of levels, which means don't fuck with these people. I climbed up this mountain, I saw a lion. I did not know if it was dead or not. I just hit it, and then I see Red Skull, and it's like, oh shit. I just ran. Found leopards, also Red Skulls. At a certain point, I just warped out of there as soon as I was out of danger, rather than just risk trying to somehow kill these animals and such that are way too high level for me at the moment. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun getting into that game some more, get more loot and all that. So I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. And I kind of dipped into the Sea of Thieves beta. That's going on. I'll have a video for that in the next day or two. I decided to play solo, at least early on, and they do not have tutorials in that game at all. Not really, at least. Because I could not figure out how to do a quest. Start a quest, at least.
That seems like a pretty major design fault.
Yeah. The big problem is you go in your ship, there's the map room. You can look at the map, shows like the whole area. You go over to this other part, and that's where you sort of propose quests, and people can vote on them. Since I'm only playing solo, I can just put it right through. And then it just disappears. It shows that I'm doing this quest, and I'm like, okay, where do I go? And I look around, I look on the map, it's like there's nothing highlighted there. Nothing, and then I go look around, it's like, huh? I go try and cancel it, maybe try again. And canceling it just deletes it. So I had to go back to the starting island and go back to the vendor that hands out these quests and get it again. Then I did that all over again, put it in, and I Googled it. It's like, oh, you just hold the map button. It's like, there's a map button? It's like a radial menu. I can hold, I guess, multiple maps. I've never had more than one, so and that shows like it just shows a picture of an island with some red X's on it. And you just look at that island and compare it to the big table map and sort of try and figure out which island it is. That's all of the trickery there. It's just figuring out which island it is. Once you do it, you know exactly where to dig for the treasure and whatever. Sometimes there are enemies on these islands. So far it's been skeletons, which the easy way to thwart them is to go in the water. They don't swim. But yeah, going solo, the menus try to make it seem like it's only for experts, but I got all three of the main quests that you get early on. I did them all pretty easily. Now I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, what's next? Because it's not giving me more. There's no XP or inventory. The only time I've ever found the inventory stuff is when you go to specific chests or boxes on islands or on your ship. They're just like, here's your inventory or your equipment. And so there's like a lot of cosmetic stuff, I assume, for that. I just have the very basic stuff. But yeah, it's very much a survival game without the survival aspect of it. Like, you're not really too worried about, eating or, drinking or doing any of that stuff unless you want to do it. You just need to regain health if you get hit, but that's about it. It's not really a ton to that. So I guess they're relying heavily on the co-op aspect of it, at least from what this beta is showing. But, yeah. I'm going to have a video on that in the next day or two when I get a chance to sit down and record it. So, and that's been kind of it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, first of all, I've been, of course, still playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I am now officially at the halfway point. Had another major character death. And again, like the first one, this individual was actually not in the party for all that long. In fact, they were only in the party for this one chapter.
Oh, that's how they just introduce him and get him out?
Yeah, well, I guess
he exists, and now he's dead.
Yeah. So, you know, that's twice they've done this. I'm guessing that even though both of these characters are basically dead, that they're probably going to have some involvement in what's going to happen near the end of this game. Because, you know, to have both of these characters to have, like, exist in one chapter and then die is just a little too convenient, I guess.
No, it's either they're planning something for the end or they're really bad writers.
Yeah, this is Monolith Soft. Their writers are actually pretty good.
So,
if occasionally jargon heavy, like Xenoblade, like Xenosaga, for example. Yeah. Xenosaga was notoriously heavy on the jargon.
Yeah.
Oh, also, remember, I don't think I mentioned this earlier. One of the big conceits about, you know, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is that, you know, drivers and blades, you know, drivers are the, you know, like, actual characters, and blades are sort of the are sort of like the personification of whatever weapons they're wielding that have, like, their own, you know, intelligence and their own sort of, you know, way of perceiving the world. So, like, you know, everyone has seen Pyra, the redheaded girl that's been in all the trailers. She's a blade.
They kind of remind me of some Pakuto spirits from Bleach.
Yeah. They're also kind of sort of like stands if they were... You know, if they were a bit more, if they had more personality. So there's also that. Of course, Pyra has one. All the basically all the driver characters in this game have a stand, except for the ones that are all the characters that you can play in this game have blades, though not all of them can be drivers. So one of them, which is the little Nopon guy, his name's Tora. He actually builds a robot that sort of acts like his stand. I mean, you see what I mean? They're basically just like stands.
Yeah.
That is basically supposed to be his blade. And there's a bunch of these blades that you can find in the game. And one of them just so happens to be Cosmos. From Xenosaga.
There's a callback.
Shocking.
Now, what's fun? You know what's neat about that? That means that basically Nintendo has the rights to Xenosaga. Which means we might end up getting a Xenosaga
remaster on the Switch.
I hope so.
That would be
at some point.
Harada wants to do it.
Yeah. And I know there's already been a Xenosaga collection that was put out in Japan, so.
Yeah.
You know, there's that. Just, of course, I'm wondering, because I never got to play the Xenosaga series. Like, it just never got on my radar. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would have thought you'd be all about it.
Oh, I probably would have if I had more knowledge of it at the time. But you got to remember, that was back during the time when, well, we were just getting sort of clubbed over the head with amazing games just left and right. So
it's true.
So, yeah. So other than that, I've
was an incredible time.
Oh yeah, it was. So other than that, I've also been playing Golf Life on my Switch. We've talked about this game before, right?
It's you mean the Golf Story
or Golf Story. Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, yeah. It's Golf Story.
It's basically a golf RPG. Basically, that's basically the best way you can describe
it. Yeah, like a JRPG where you just do golf instead of battle.
Yeah, and you can basically do it just about everywhere. You can basically put down your ball and hit it pretty much in any spot you want to in the game. So, yeah, I've been playing that, and man, that game is fun. Like, it's... I don't know if it's just because of how utterly absurd it is, because it's basically, it runs on completely ridiculous logic. Like, you're, like, you start playing at this place called Wellworn, which is like a old school, like, golf course.
Yeah.
And it's, like, run down at that point, and there's
Well-worn,
a bunch of...
as it were.
Yeah. And it's basically, there's like delinquents and stuff, and it's basically owned by a petty mob boss. And then you get hired to go over to their rival course, which to the rival golf course, which is, you know, to spy on, see what's making them successful. And it's basically Land of the Lost World. Just cavemen and dinosaur bones and tar. It makes absolutely no sense. But
sounds awesome, just because it makes no sense.
Yeah. But that's that's sort of that. So, like, throughout the game, on top of, like, the actual golfing, there's, like, various things you got to do, like races, certain things like feeding fish or trying to bring turtles back to a lake or getting an upgrade for your driver so that you can use it to dig in the ground or in bunkers to get hidden treasure. 'Cause stuff costs money in this game. And stuff like that. It's completely balls out insane.
This was not the work of a sober studio.
No, but it's amazing. And it's one of those games that's absolutely perfect for the Switch and what it's trying to accomplish. So really, other than that, I've just been doing life things like things like, you know, breathing and, sleeping and.
I'm guessing the snow's gone down there.
Producing oxygen, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
No more winter for you guys down there?
Yeah, it's pretty much gotten up to a high around the 60s, so.
No more snow.
No more snow, no.
Yeah, we got up into the 50s this week. That just leaves dirt mountains and parking lots.
Yeah, pretty much. So, if you didn't notice, nothing really spectacular happened this week. So.
Yeah. But other things
other than the fact that our neighboring city of Warner Robins is apparently suffering a massive homicide problem, and now gun sales have shot up over there. So
that's how you solve it: more guns.
Yeah,
this seems like
I can see this not ending well.
Yeah. Oh, and there's also apparently there's a bit of a controversy happening in my neighborhood because the county wants to build a halfway house up over sort of the over up the block from where I live.
Bring on the NIMBYs.
Yeah. But so that's pretty much been me. So you guys got anything else to add before we move on?
Nope. Not really. We're just poking around on eBay and if you want to get the Xenosaga games, they're not that expensive.
Yeah. Of course, I also don't want to have to go through the stuff of getting my PS2 out and hooking it up because I don't have a regular television anymore.
Yeah.
How those have not become PS3 classics or PS2 on PS4 is beyond me.
Yeah.
Oh, blame Sony.
Is that Namco that has them?
Yeah.
That's probably why I don't think they put out any of those.
Yeah.
They're more in the, hey, we're going to remaster
everything.
Remaster stuff like the, what's the MMO thing they had? Dot hack,
yeah.
They finally remastered those out of nowhere.
Yeah, and that was awesome, though.
And then we're gonna try and sell you Pac-Man again 127 times. So
that's okay. I'll still buy.
And succeed a good number of them.
Yeah.
We're selling you 900 megabit Pac-Man. Somehow that is a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right then. Well, with that out of the way, it is now time for everyone's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So. Tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about hot mics and how they occasionally get presidents in trouble. So, as everybody knows, our current president infamously got in trouble with a hot mic when he was with Billy Bush in a bus and basically was bragging about what amounts to sexual assault. You know, famously saying, you know, I move on him like a bitch, grab him by the pussy. That was the infamous one.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that as long as mics have been around, you know, it's gotten presidents in trouble. I mean, you don't need to look that far back. The last president, Barack Obama, infamously once talked about a conversation he had with John McCain, and after John McCain made some, let's say, some rather unfortunate remarks about some of about Obama's ideas, and famously said he wanted to rip John McCain's nuts off.
Oof.
Yeah. But that's not the one we're talking about today. No, we're going all the way back, a few presidents back. For Obama, for Clinton, for both Bushes. We're going all the way back to 1984, and the man who the Republicans have built a cult of personality around, so strong it would make Stalin blush, old Ronald Teflon Reagan himself. So, way back in 1984, and this was also back when presidents were still giving regular radio addresses, too. So, stuff like that. So, Ron Reagan, he's in the little, he's got the radio mic in front of him, and he was getting ready to announce a recent piece of legislation he had signed, so he was getting ready to make a speech, and now the first sentence of the speech was to go like this. Let me see if I can get my best Ronald Reagan impression going here. My fellow Americans, I am pleased to tell you that today I signed legislation that will allow student religions groups to begin enjoying a right that have long been denied, the freedom to meet in public high schools during non-school hours. So he was getting warmed up to do the speech, and he's working it up, making himself getting his voice ready. He decides, you know what, it'd be funny if I'm warming up, I do something that's kind of a little joke. Only problem was he didn't realize that the mic was recording and sending out his voice to everyone when this happened. He said the following. My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, remember, this was 1984 during one of the heights of the Cold War.
Yeah.
And,
I'm sure that didn't go over too well.
Oh, no, it didn't. Now, Americans actually kind of thought it was a little funny. The rest of the world, however, didn't. Once the story started leaking out to all the papers all over the world, you can probably guess that they weren't too happy about this. Considering he basically just joked about launching nuclear Armageddon. And, of course, as you can probably guess, the Soviet Union condemned the remark, understandably.
Yeah.
And the U.S. government basically spent the rest of that week trying to calm down an angry and slightly jumpy populace. Now, it's not quite grab you by the pussy levels, but it is... I may or may not turn the earth into a fiery hellscape.
Yeah.
Levels. Fortunately, that was his only hot mic incident, really. Because despite issues that Ronald Reagan had, including the fact that he was pretty definitely showing the symptoms of early Alzheimer's during the second half of his presidency, he, or at least the people around him, had enough sense to make sure that if the mics were on or not.
Yeah.
Mostly because most of them actually liked and worked with the guy, not everyone trying to stab everyone else in the back like our current president. And that has been yet another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid.
I remember Ronald Reagan. He was... seemed like a decent enough guy.
Too bad he was a shit president.
Yeah. Although I think even he would be confused about that cult of personality if he were to see it.
Yeah.
Actually, he would be confused about everything if he could have seen it.
Well, I mean...
Because, I mean, I remember... Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I meant that notwithstanding.
Yeah, he would have found it kind of odd. And it's especially how they were able to do it when you consider the fact that his administration had some seriously bad scandals going with it. But we'll talk about those another time.
Yeah.
So, now we got to start the show proper. And, of course, we start, as always, with our assholes of the week. And guess what? The Trump administration is in neither one of them.
Yeah, they're slacking this week.
So, good job.
Well, Trump is out of the country, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And, of course, Melania isn't with him. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, first, our major asshole of the week is Larry Nassar. Who is Larry Nassar? Larry Nassar was a, I believe he was a, was he a, I can't remember, was he a doctor. Coach? He was a doctor, yes.
Doctor with
sports doctor. Doctor of sports medicine, I think.
Yeah, U.S. gymnastics as well as at Michigan State.
Yeah, and he was there for, he was there for a long time, wasn't he? Like,
yeah, quite a while, many, many years.
Yeah, and he was, of course, he was a doctor of sports medicine, which meant he was in charge of looking out for the health of all the, it was the gymnastics program, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The girls' gymnastics program, specifically. Well, this week he was sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison. Why? Because of rape of those gymnasts.
Yeah, he had 156 people testify.
Yep.
Not all of those are the girls. Some were the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Still, that's a staggering number, and that's not all of them, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently had parents would sign kind of contracts with him that he would have free access to their kids to do, you know, exams and whatnot. And he would sometimes do that in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You know, always.
By the way, some of these girls he did this were as young as six.
Yeah.
And many of those girls came forward. They testified. And some of those testimonies have been recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said most of them directly to him.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, at one point he basically had his attorney ask, said, my client is requesting that he no longer be present for these testimonies as it's called, causing him quote unquote emotional anguish.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's 40 to 175. And this is on top of the 60 year federal prison sentence that he got in December for child porn charges.
Hmm.
Yep.
So
yep. He ain't getting out of jail anytime soon.
No.
The judge actually basically told him, I just signed your death warrant.
Basically.
It said, it is my honor and privilege to sentence you. You do not deserve to walk outside of prison ever again. You've done nothing to control those urges, and anywhere you walk, destruction will occur to those most vulnerable.
Hmm.
I just signed your death warrant.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not eligible for parole for 99 years. 2117.
Yeah, he's going to be dead by then. So
yeah. Yep. It's 54 now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. That's if they don't end up finding dead hanging in a cell.
Yeah. And there's still more going on with this stuff because, obviously, a lot of this stuff happened on college campus.
Mm-hmm.
The president has stepped down at Michigan State. I assume more people will be stepping down there.
Yep.
As well as the people running the U.S. Gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
They will be, I think a few have stepped down, and I think the U.S. Olympic Committee has essentially said, we're going to need the rest of you to step down, or else the whole program is going to be thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that people are starting to realize that this kind of shit isn't cool.
Yeah.
Especially
you would think after Penn State they would find out by now that there's that this shit ain't cool, but
yeah, but it's sometimes it takes people a while to realize it.
All this happened during that as well.
Yeah.
Before that came out. So yeah, there's lots of that. And there ESPN just put out a report, I think a little bit earlier today, about shit that happened with the football and basketball teams. Mm. Michigan State.
So the whole thing's burning down.
Yeah, I would imagine those coaches will not be around very much longer.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
So, And then we have our other asshole of the week. Oh, Lord. So in Germany, there is this nurse who is now... is this a recent thing, or is this like an older thing?
The recent part is them finding new things here.
Yeah, but when did these actual incidents take place?
The incidents happened at least a few years ago.
Okay, so a few years ago in Germany, there was this nurse who was accused of being a serial killer. And
he was convicted on two attempted murders.
Yeah. Well, there was some new they did some more digging and they got some new findings, and now that number has gone from 2 to 86.
He's been busy.
And so this guy liked to induce like cardiac arrest in people so they can save them and look like a hero.
Oh, one of those guys.
Yes. Who was, I guess, bored enough to try to kill people. And this is just what they have unearthed right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still doing more look into it. And obviously, 84, the quote here, 84 killings leaves us speechless as if all that weren't not enough, we must realize the real dimension of the killings by Niels is likely many times worse. And talking about how, the staff was able to look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Not realize potentially the intention that was going on with this stuff.
Yeah.
And so they're obviously looking into those people as well. Like they're pursuing criminal cases against former staff at two of his previous facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this stuff happened, let's see, 99 to 2002 for the first hospital, 2003 to 2005 for the second.
Mm.
So it's been quite a while.
Hmm.
He intentionally brought about cardiac case crises in some 90 patients at Delmenhorst, the second hospital, because he enjoyed the feeling of being able to resuscitate them. And so this is probably going to be one of the worst serial killer cases they've had since probably the days of the Nazis.
Probably.
Does Germany have a death penalty?
I don't think that they
do. No, but he is already sentenced to 99 years in prison, and they don't go beyond that as like a just the general life term.
Mm-hmm.
I like here, you know, the guy we just talked about had 175 years as a potential sentence.
Mm.
So this guy's already going to prison for life.
Mm.
I'm just trying to figure out how bad it is.
yeah, pretty bad, it looks like.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, but holy shit.
Yeah, this sounds like some Stephen King level creepiness.
Somebody's going to get the movie rights, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Damn, I could think of script right now. But to wipe that awful taste out of our mouths, we've got the hero of the week. And this week, it is the great state of Montana. Why the great state of Montana? Because they became the first state this week to establish its own net neutrality rules.
Yeah. Heard about this.
Now, that is a brave thing. However, there is a small issue with this. And it has to do with something called the Supremacy Clause. Federal, you know how they say that federal law is supposed to trump state law?
Yeah.
The FCC could very easily step in here and sue them.
Yeah. Trouble is, I think they're going to end up having to sue a lot of states because there's laws being drafted in several states like this now.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. And basically telling Agit Pie to go fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you should.
Yes, most definitely. But basically.
Yeah, it says here attorneys from more than 20 states and D.C. have sued to block the federal repeal.
Again, technically here's, and I think it's important to recognize, net neutrality still does technically exist. It hasn't been completely done away with because it still has to be approved by an act of Congress.
Yeah. But...
And that vote has not happened yet.
No.
And those lawsuits will delay that as well.
Yeah. And apparently, at least in the Senate, they've got a majority to overturn it. Now, the House, on the other hand, is another deal.
Yeah.
Or I may have had that backwards.
Well, I think they care about re-election, too.
Yeah. Although, I think I may have gotten that backwards. I think it's actually the House and not the Senate, but whatever.
Senate
one of them
has the bill right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Okay.
It just has to go back to the House and then to the President.
Yeah. And, of course, for the record, they'll have to get a veto-proof majority for that to get through.
Yeah.
But anyway. So, now to move on to the proper show proper, which is the first off. So, there's this little organization called the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. And they put out a magazine that's also called the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. And this magazine is famous for tracking issues involving nuclear weapons, nuclear energy, stuff like that, nuclear warfare. And in the last couple decades, it's also started talking about environmental issues. Well, they're probably most famous because they have this symbol that they created all the way back in the 1950s to represent how they thought how close the Earth, the planet, was in suffering all-out nuclear war. It's called the Doomsday Clock, and it's basically the last quarter from 9 to 12.
Yeah.
And the hour hand is always on midnight, and the minute hand shows where it might be, how close we are. The further away it is from midnight, the further away we are from nuclear war.
Yeah.
The closer it is to midnight, closer we are to nuclear war. And in fact, at one point, there was a point where we were so not in danger of nuclear war that they actually put the minute hand past quarter to midnight.
Mm.
So,
and that was at the end of the Cold War. So that's 17 minutes to midnight.
Yep. Yeah.
1991, 27 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, the closest it has ever been has been 2 minutes to midnight.
Yeah.
And this has only happened twice in history. The first one happened during the Cuban Missile Crisis, which, as we have found out years later, actually wasn't all that much of a crisis. It was kind of played up by the media. It was more of a negotiation thing and kind of saber-rattling from a lot of sides. But as far as the actual procedures went, it was actually pretty dull and didn't really reach any type of crisis-level stuff. The other time this had happened... This week.
Yep.
Because this week, the Doomsday Clock has now been set, for the second time in its history, 2 minutes to midnight. All because of Trump and Kim Jong-un's dick-waving and climate change.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Now, here's the thing. Of the two, I actually view the risk of nuclear exchange to actually be the least likely. And there's for a couple of reasons. First one is North Korea actually has a no first strike policy. Now, belief you put into that is up to you. But consider the fact that ultimately North Korea does want to reunite with the homeland at some point, and you know, if they did, they know they're smart enough to know that if they did launch a nuclear attack, Pyongyang would basically cease to exist within 48 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're not.
Would be an island.
Yeah. They may be cruel bastards, but they're not stupid. And as for Trump, well, we all know about Trump and his ego, but if there's anything I've made clear over the last few weeks after reading Fire and Fury, in the Trump administration, Donald Trump is not the captain of the ship.
Nope.
He's the steering wheel, and all the sailors are fighting over which way they're going to turn him.
Hmm.
Now, the people around him have managed to keep him contained to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And keep in mind that if a president does order a nuclear strike, there's a very long process that he has to go through for it to happen.
Yeah.
Everybody is familiar with the infamous nuclear football, right?
Yeah.
It's a little suitcase that the president has near him at all times with a Secret Service agent who has it in a briefcase chained to his wrist, well, handcuffed to his wrist. And in it, it contains the nuclear launch codes, a manual, where the actual nuclear sites are and where they're aimed at. And in order for him to actually get this, he has to go through a code sequence. People have to turn keys. Buttons have to be pushed in certain sequences. We're just saying there's a lot of fail-safes between him and the button, yeah, is what I'm saying. And believe it or not, generals in the United States are a lot more aware about this shit than you would give them credit for.
Yeah.
Granted, American imperialism is, well, awful, but it's never been in the interest of American imperialism to ever turn a region into nuclear vapor.
No.
Nothing to conquer.
Nothing to conquer and no resources left to exploit.
Yeah.
So, nuclear Armageddon, very low on the list of possible Armageddons right now. The climate change one is one to be concerned about, especially this next bit of news. Cape Town, South Africa, it will be the world's first major city to run out of water. It's going to run out, if things don't change now, it's scheduled to run out of water in 78 days. Which means on April 12th.
Yep.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of it is due to people not limiting their water use in that town as much as they should. Which seems like a big deal. Like, quit fucking around with your water. You know you're running out.
Yeah.
So I guess they are starting...
Are they having a drought over there?
Yeah, the worst drought they've had in more than a century.
Yeah.
Which has pushed them to this. They've probably just got 4 million people growing, mm-hmm, sort of more than they've ever had. As well as, obviously, climate change adding to that whole thing. And they are doing starting on February 1st, they're going to only be allowed to use 50 liters, or about 13 gallons of water per person per day. They have told people to lower their water pressure before this, but usage is still about 86 million liters above their target goal. So they don't have too much more to go. There's like a handy thing that they're sending out to people, like flyers saying, hey, here's ways to limit your use to 50 liters a day. It's like 18 liters for dishes and laundry, which at this point I would say just fuck dishes. Just go for...
Get paper plates. Make
paper plates and cups and disposable or recyclable, you know, utensils and all that.
Mm-hmm.
90-second shower, 15 liters. You could easily probably just have like a bucket of water and just dip your towel or whatever in that and just scrub yourself down, use some soap and all that.
Yeah.
Toilet flush, 9 liters. Daily hygiene, 3 liters. Cooking, 2 liters. Drinking water, 2 liters. And dog bowl, 1 liter. So there are definite ways you can slim that down. Like, you're not doing laundry every day.
No.
Yeah.
You know, you can maybe use normal cups if you're just drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't need to reuse that. Don't, you know, stop with the pop and beer and all that. For the time being, you know, things like that. But, yeah. Lots of people that need to be cognizant of what they're doing for the time being.
Yeah.
And hope they get some rain real bad.
And they will. Eventually.
Yeah.
There will be rain coming. The reason I say that is because whenever we talk about these climate change stories, it's easy to sort of sink into despair because of how apocalyptic it all sounds.
Yeah.
But it is important to remember Africa has had droughts before, South Africans included. They have learned how to deal with this stuff.
Yeah. And they have a nice video. I put a link in of the dam.
Yeah.
There's not much water in there.
No. Yeah.
It's like a nice little pond.
Mm.
A stretch pond, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah, so things are not great there. I would imagine.
But they will get better.
Yeah.
It's takes time, some patience, and you got to let Mother Nature do her work. So
yeah, I wonder how much they invest in ways of turning seawater into drinkable water.
Well, they're like certainly going to start looking at it now, aren't they?
Yeah. That seemed like a smart thing to do when you're, especially South Africa, you're on the coast.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. And now, next up, we're going to do a little segment. It may become a regular segment as long as, you know, this current administration is in existence. Right now, we're calling it Mueller Watch. Because, as you can probably guess, some stuff involving the Mueller investigation happened this week. So, first and foremost, we now know that Robert Mueller, has interviewed the current Secretary of the Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
I guess the Attorney General. Yeah.
I guess with that, just confirmation that he spoke with Comey last year, which seems obvious.
Yeah.
That would be one of your first things because he would be the most willing to talk with you. Not really much more than that here. But I assume if he just says, I don't remember a lot.
Probably. Yeah, which he is what we know he's been doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
His three infamous words, I don't recall. Here's the thing. I don't recall is basically legalese for I may or may not have been there, but I'm making this vague enough so you can't completely point this at me.
Yeah.
But then anybody worth their salt would say, you're the head of the Department of Justice. Why can't you remember anything?
Yeah.
I'm old.
Pretty sure Mueller will.
Mueller. It's pronounced Mueller.
Mueller?
Yeah, it's Mueller. But that's not the only one. We also have now known that none other than the walking human gin blossom named Steve Bannon recently struck a deal with Mueller. He is going to get interviewed by Mueller, and he's struck a deal so that he's going to be avoiding testifying before a grand jury.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this shit's real. This is, you know how we've been thinking for a long time now, when is the break finally going to come?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when is it finally going to ramp up and look like shit's actually happening?
Yeah.
Shit's actually happening now.
Yeah.
And Bannon probably has shit on everybody.
Oh, yeah. And he's also a vindictive motherfucker, too.
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah.
He's going to put everyone got 6 feet under.
Oh, yeah. And then finally, it has been announced, and we now know that Mueller is now going to be, it hasn't been set in stone yet, but in the coming weeks, Mueller is going to want to interview Donald Trump himself.
And Trump's
and he's going to have to do this under oath.
Yeah.
So how many times is he going to perjure himself during this process?
I think he'll probably do it before he even starts.
Here's the thing. So if he does this under oath, that we know who Donald Trump is. Yeah. Donald himself has come forward saying he's looking forward to talking to Mueller under oath. Bigly, believe it.
Here's the story. There has been no collusion whatsoever. There's no obstruction whatsoever. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Nobody that would be talking to somebody at the head of this sort of investigation would be looking forward to it.
Yeah, including his attorneys who have basically been doing everything they possibly can to make it so that he doesn't have to do this.
Yeah.
And apparently, as far as I know this week, the best they've come up with is this case from 1990 that basically says that see if I can remember. I got it somewhere else. But basically, it involved whether or not a president can actually can be told to go forward to something that might incriminate himself. I'm trying to see if I can find it here.
Hmm.
But Yeah, the truth is, they did this like they posted this story over on the Wall Street Journal, and apparently, they weren't buying it.
No. Yeah, this is gonna be entertaining at the very least.
Well, here's the one thing you have to remember about all of this: there is no legal precedent for it. We're literally in untreaded water right now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, this is stupid Watergate after all. For everybody, it's a controversy on the scale of Watergate's, but everybody involved is stupid as hell.
Yeah.
There's a good bit the way they end this. President also slammed Hillary Clinton for not being under oath during her interview with the FBI in 2016 about her private email stuff. And he says, she didn't do it under oath, but I would do it under oath, and you know she didn't do it under oath. Oh, I would do it under oath.
The election was over a year ago, and he still can't stop talking about Hillary.
I know, they've been sad ever since because they don't get to investigate her for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
But they're still going to try to.
Yep. They weren't supposed to win.
Yeah, that's the point that Fire and Fury makes. They weren't supposed to win. They never intended. They had more faith in the American people than the actual American people did.
Yeah. It's funny because all of that guerrilla social media marketing and campaigning that they did worked a little bit too well.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Now, do you remember how that whole season of South Park where Mr. Garrison was running for president and Garrison was basically their Trump surrogate here?
Yeah.
And remember how the whole point was him trying to do things he could do so he would lose?
Yeah. Got elected anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
geez. All right. Well, now on for the next story. So Donald Trump apparently is a connoisseur of fine art. Not really. He just likes the prestige that comes with it. And apparently, the White House sent a request to the Guggenheim for them to loan a painting by Van Gogh for Trump's room.
Yeah, the 1888 painting Landscape with Snow.
Yeah.
I'm curious what this thing looks like.
I would have picked Starry Night, but then again, this is Trump's taste, not mine.
Yeah.
But the Guggenheim actually turned him down. But they did offer him a compromise. They offered him, well, we have this other piece for you. Maybe you would like it. It's a golden toilet entitled America.
18K gold toilet.
Yep.
Italian artist Maurizio Catalan.
Yeah.
Part of interactive art exhibit at the Guggenheim hosted for a year until around the same time the White House emailed the museum. The exhibit, which was set up in what appeared to be a standard bathroom on the floor's fifth floor, invited museum goers to use the art. And I guess they got a hold of the email that the curator sent.
Mm-hmm.
That the toilet was available, quote, should the president and first lady have any interest in installing it in the White House.
Now that's some grade A level trolling right there.
Oh, that is some shade. Oh.
It's like, oh, you want us to loan you this priceless painting?
No.
Here's a toilet for you.
Yeah. That is the best. That is just that is the best kind of passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, hats off to the Guggenheim for that.
Yeah. All right, this next story here, it's example of how when the GOP is desperately trying to flail around to find something, and they lose and fall flat on their faces. So apparently the records of a phone conversation that took place between a couple of Democrats.
Yeah, this is a text conversation.
Yeah, and I believe it was these people are actually in a relationship, so it's boyfriend-girlfriend stuff. And they're talking, and they're – obviously, you'll find out they don't really think very much of Bernie Sanders. They don't think much of Donald Trump. They actually don't even think that much of Hillary Clinton. So, you know, they're establishment Democrats. And
yeah, I think it's this whole part of the government that is just these people that are career sort of people at these various departments.
Yeah.
That just work for whoever runs it, and they realize, eh, they're all kind of idiots.
Yeah. Of course, if I worked there, I probably would feel the same way. Let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And that's that. Of course, I am a Bernie supporter, and I like Bernie, so obviously I find that little bit to be a little asshole-ish, but then again, I'm not in the government, so.
Yeah. These are personal texts between friends, so you talk shit in there. It's just...
Yeah, it's... So, anyway, while they were doing this, there was this point where they were talking about, you know, they were talking about, like, are you going to – about the calendars.
This was just after the election ended.
Yeah, it was – okay, so the two people was FBI lawyer Lisa Page and an FBI agent named Peter Strzok. Strzok? Strzok?
Yeah, it's S-T-R-Z-O-K.
Yeah.
It's like Strzok or
– Strzok. Okay, Peter Strzok. That's what we're calling him. She asked, are you even going to give out your calendars? Seems kind of depressing. Maybe it should just be the first meeting of the secret society. It's an inside joke, you know.
The GOP didn't pick up on that initially.
Oh, no, they didn't, because guess what? They became convinced there was an actual secret society.
Yeah, if it wasn't already over the top of them going after which one is it, McCabe? Is the deputy
mm-hmm.
director of the FBI? They want him to get fired by Ray, who's mm-hmm. running it now. It's like, this guy's retiring. I'm not going to do that. And now they're going after this, trying to take down the FBI whatever way they can.
And they fell flat on their faces because this week the chairman of the Senate Home Secretary of the Senate Home Security Committee, Ron Johnson, actually backed off. Once it became very obvious that this was a load of bullshit.
Yeah, I saw the tweets about this, and it's people were like, yeah, this is obviously sarcasm. It's like, yeah, I guess it could be. And I guess he just said, okay, we're not going to push this anymore. It seems pretty obvious.
Oh, God.
Obvious to everybody but them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not a lot to say about that.
Yeah,
it's just continued GOP desire to find the smallest things that could be huge controversies and try and pump them up as much as they can with the help of Russian bots.
Yeah.
Actually, and the whole thing with
failing.
Twitter alerting people that interacted with Russian bots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was one of the senators that at least publicly said that.
Yeah.
I forget who it was. Obviously, it was the GOP senator. Mm. Yeah, it's like, oh, of course. It's one of you idiots.
Yeah.
Because he was bragging about it because it somehow proved that they weren't helping the GOP or something like that. I don't know. It was something real stupid. He was blaming the press for this. It's like, I was saying you did this, you idiot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Sort of like Orrin Hatch and like reading half of the headline and assuming the rest is all gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, see, I'm Utah of the year. You love me. Oh, now I got to retire. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right, so this next story is partly heartwarming and partly hilarious. So over in Germany, there's a political party called Alternative for Deutschland. It originally started as a regular sort of middle-of-the-road center-right party. That was mostly staffed by college professors and the intelligentsia, you know. And then at some point, it started getting infiltrated by people that actually have familial ties to the original Nazi party.
Yeah.
And so it's basically become a neo-Nazi party in all but name only. And the one thing they're probably most infamous for right now is them railing against the Syrian refugees that have been coming into Germany. Now, I will admit that perhaps Angela Merkel took on more refugees than maybe they probably should have, but this shit also feeds into them trying to create hysteria about Islam. And then one of their most well-known politicians has quit the party and converted to Islam.
Whoop.
let's just let that sort of.
It's just like.
It's like rain.
Total just irony in the greatest sense possible.
So the guy in question is Arthur Wagner. He was a leading member. He was in the eastern state of Brandenburg, stepped down, quote unquote, for personal reasons. And then the paper Tagesspiegel or Dagesspiegel. No, not Der Spiegel. It's Tagesspiegel. That's okay, it's a different paper. They broke the story that he had converted to Islam. Hmm. Now, he told the Daily that's my private business, which, to be fair, yes.
It is.
It is. Now, for those who don't know, the AfD actually entered the Bundestag for the first time last year, in September. They actually won 12.6% of the vote in federal elections. They actually became the third largest party in there. Now, before that gets you worried, just keep in mind this is a parliament we're talking about.
Yeah.
And of course, as you can guess, many people on Twitter pointed out the irony of Wagner actually converting to Islam. Emily Dishbecker, who is actually, I believe, an AfD member. Either she's an AFD, I don't know. I think she might be just a shit poster. She says, creeping Sharia picks up speed as politician from Germany's Islamophobic AFD converts to Islam. And then Mark Berry, who just says, I really don't understand Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sort of goes into the history of the party itself and their Islamophobia.
Yeah. It was originally founded in 2013 as a Euroskeptic party. Like I said, center-right sort of.
Yep. Got subverted by far-right. Not unlike stuff like 4chan or whatever.
It seems
to happen to a lot of things.
Yeah. Earlier this month, the deputy leader of the AfD's parliamentary group was blocked from Facebook and Twitter after publishing Islamophobic posts criticizing police for posting Arab language updates on New Year's Eve. She had written, what the hell is happening in this country? Why is an official police site tweeting in Arabic? Do you think it is to appease the barbaric gang raping hordes of Muslim men? And of course, she got ticked off of Twitter because of that.
As she probably should have.
Yeah. She's lucky that, you know, I would not be surprised if she's going to have an official piece of, indictment or charges brought against her.
Yeah.
Because for those who don't remember, Germany takes that kind of shit very seriously.
Yeah. It can lock you up for stuff like that.
Yes. For sake of just pointing out what the situation is like over there, the German Interior Ministry documented 3,533 attacks on refugees and their accommodations in 2016. That was nearly 10 a day. Moving on from there, we now know that Boris Johnson, who is the infamous British buffoon who was once mayor of London.
Yeah, current UK Foreign Secretary.
Yeah. He is actually the descendant of the Swiss mummified woman.
Yeah, so this is in the Swiss city of Basel.
Mm-hmm.
Basel. This woman, they suspect, died around, where is it at here? Like the 1700s?
Mm-hmm.
16th century. She died in 1787, I think.
That's 18th century.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, it's saying, her wood coffins from the 16th century. I don't know.
Nah.
It's a little bit weird. But anyway, there was no identification anywhere near this stuff, no gravestones or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been always wondering who this is or, you know, anything identifying who this person could have been. And they finally did some, were able to do some DNA testing, I believe. Mm-hmm. Figured out that this is the great, 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 great grandmother of Boris Johnson. A man who is the adult version of Bam Bam. So yeah, his family obviously comes from the Swiss.
Yeah.
At least part of it does.
Yeah.
There's not really much of a story here except, you know, just a story of lineage, but it is, I guess, you know, for
if it becomes Boris Johnson, a story when it involves a thick jawed tip dipshit like Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this famous mummy happens to be related to a famous dumbass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
buffoon.
Of all the people I could have been related to, it had to be this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I think invited a lot of people on Twitter to show pictures of both. I'm like, oh, I see the resemblance.
Desiccated corpse and Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
All right. So next story. You know, we're in a bad state right now. When, in order to teach people about net neutrality, it's up to companies like Burger King to come forward and help teach people. Now, granted, they did a really good job, but fucking Burger King should not have to do this.
No, but it's great that they did.
All right, so.
Yeah, it's hard to explain this one, but if just watch the video, because it's great. Mm-hmm. I personally love the tiered pricing based on priority. So that was really nice. I also found it amazing that one dude actually paid $26 for his Whopper. So there was that.
That's when you're desperate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want your Whopper right now and you don't care about the fast lanes. The best part, though, was right at the end where you see the king drinking out of a giant Reese mug, which is you basically directly trolling as you Pai in his video where he was drinking out of a Reese mug.
So,
It's great that they did this, even if they did hire actors to do it. Was still pretty great.
Yeah. So. All right. Just well, in other fast food news, everybody knows that over at the KFC, they've now got their current ad campaign where they bring in various famous people to impersonate Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
Usually comedians.
Usually comedians. It started out with what's his name? Fuck, I can't remember. And then they've had people like Norm MacDonald, John Goodman.
Okay, I'm looking at the list on IMDb they have for this.
Yeah.
Obviously, Harlan Sanders, the original. Jim Gaffigan, was it?
Yeah, George Jim Gaffigan. George Hamilton.
Daryl Hammond.
Daryl Hammond, that's who I was trying to remember.
Vincent Kartheiser, Rob Lowe, Norm MacDonald, Nick Nemeth.
Yep.
Randy Quaid, Rob Riggle, Billy Zane, Christopher Boyer.
Just a lot of
different
famous people. Well, we're going to get the first female Colonel Sanders in their next campaign, where Colonel Sanders will be played in a new musical ad by Reba McEntire.
Yeah, it's out now. She basically does a nice song about their new, it's like Southern barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
She's a country singer, so fits pretty well.
Yep.
Yeah, Smoky Mountain Barbecue Fried Chicken.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's nice they got a female in there after she's in drag. Jokes about not being a woman. Like, I'm definitely not a woman, so it's a nice little ad.
Yeah.
Any of you guys still do the KFC thing?
Me? Yeah. I do.
You do.
Yeah,
once in a while. I stopped for a while because I kept getting broken bones.
So, yeah.
This is shitty.
Yeah.
Once I found out that there was a Bojangas near us, my KFC consumption went down a bit. So.
Yeah. I think, you know, KFC is pretty successful here, but in China, holy crap, they're massive over there.
In Japan, they actually, people make reservations to eat there on Christmas.
Yeah.
They they take pictures with the Colonel Sanders statue as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they're so successful over there, but okay.
Because it's the American thing.
Yeah. I guess.
That's literally how they have succeeded in Asia. Like they, you know.
Oh, this is American food. This is why they're all fat.
They tied it into America, and you know, that's how it got successful in Japan. Hmm. That's how it got successful in China.
Yeah.
Vietnam, all the places they've opened up over there.
Yeah. There's a KFC smartphone in China.
Yeah. But
let that sink in.
Yeah. Well. In other business. Yeah, Amazon. So, for those who don't know, Amazon has now opened their first line and checkout free store.
Yeah.
And there was a line around the block to wait for it.
Kind of defeated the purpose, but.
Yeah. The tech they have going on is pretty cool. So, essentially, they have these kind of looks like turnstiles for like a subway station. You pull out your app on the phone, sort of show it the code that it generates for your accounts, and you log in. If you have a family, you can sort of do it for all four of you or however many there are, and sort of go in, and it'll just take a picture with the cameras because the ceiling is tons of cameras all over it to make sure it keeps track of everybody that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go around, look at the food that you want. A lot of it is... stuff they have people making in the kitchen in the back, sort of meals and sandwiches and such that are sort of handmade. Sort of like they do at, you know, Walmart, Sam's Club, and various other places.
Yeah.
So they have their meat section and whatnot to make some stuff for you. As well as packaged stuff, and it's a lot of it is Amazon-branded stuff, so their brands, like Whole Foods and whatnot, they have in there as well. You go pick it up. There are weight sensors under everything, so they give things enough space. It's not all bunched up for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So, which isn't the greatest way of doing it.
Yeah, I did get a little bit of an insight onto that. They're actually not using weight sensors. Initial reports said they were, but they're not.
Mm.
I don't know. This was saying it. They do, but they don't rely solely on that.
Yeah. Mm.
They also have codes on the packaging. So these duct codes that the cameras up top pick up. And it's like, okay, this person's... taking this, that sort of stuff. But obviously, like, if you get, you know, one kind of yogurt, it's going to weigh the same as the other kind of yogurt.
Yeah.
It's all based on the codes for the most part.
Yeah.
And so it obviously is keeping an eye on you, noting what you've picked up. I would be curious to see how, I assume it, if he sees you put it back, like if you take it in your cart or whatever you have and put it back, I assume it knows to take it out, all that sort of stuff.
It knows to take it out. It's not good for Good Samaritans though.
Yeah.
It's like if you see like a little old lady who's having trouble bending down, if you bend down to pick up that thing, you're getting billed for it, not her. She walks out.
Though I assume old people are probably staying far away from this.
Yeah.
Like what's an app? How do I do this?
Yeah.
Where's the person? Where do I go check out?
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Hey, that's going to be us in 30 years.
Yeah, but
yeah, it is.
We'll at least be this aware. It's younger people that are now that didn't have to fuck around with computers and routers and shit that are going to be like, what's an IP address? How do I set up a router? Like all this.
What's
sort of
a keyword?
Yeah.
What's a modem?
What's DOS?
Yeah.
What is DOS?
That sort of stuff, like how we had to kind of figure out the internet and computers before they just became mostly simple.
Yeah.
But yeah, you basically get your stuff. It knows what you picked, and you just go walk out.
Yep.
Obviously, the whole point is no lines, no checkouts, but being the launch of the store. Everybody's like, ooh, I want to go there and check it out. And there are lots.
Yeah. And if they get it wrong, there's a refund button right on the app.
Mm-hmm.
And the refund is instantaneous, and you don't have to return the item.
Okay.
So.
I assume.
Good to know.
Amazon goes bankrupt in 2019.
They kind of already do that with shipping if they ship you the wrong thing or it's not in the right condition. Yeah. They'll ship you a new one and say, just don't send it back. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But
they have done that for me as well, so it's
kind
of a thing. I love the technology behind this. There's a lot of stuff in there that they're not talking about because obviously it's secret sauce. But
a lot of machine learning and still a lot of manual labor.
Yeah.
So there's still people there that you can like ask for help.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what do you recommend?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's an actual person, not like what our next story is about.
We are heading closer and closer to the singularity with every day.
Yep.
Actually, that's rubbish. There is the singularity is actually kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But maybe when we get to, but the cool stuff about all this is that it's becoming easier and easier now that the actual use, the actual need for manual labor is slowly but surely becoming obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
Which has two things. On the good side, it means that less and less humans will ever have to toil again.
Mm-hmm.
On the bad side, it means less and less people will actually have a job.
Yeah.
Well, the jobs will shift toward maintaining the robots.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And here's the thing. You really only need one or two people to maintain the robots.
There's not that, just that. I think we're heading towards a future where the kind of personalized service that you used to get is going to become a boutique thing. And I think you're going to end up seeing rather high-paying jobs in that field at some point. So it's going to kind of be circular.
So the bodegas are going to become like high rent places.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's totally what's going to happen.
But that also doesn't. That also is guessing that the revolution doesn't happen before then.
No,
valid.
Yeah. Anyways.
But anyway, so speaking of automated labor, there was a supermarket that decided to hire a robot to help customers in their store. They fired it because it was scaring people.
Yeah, it was. So this robot was built in Scotland,
mm-hmm.
Developed by Harriet Watt University in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Basically a conversational robot to talk to humans. And I guess stores can purchase these things. It's connected to the internet, processes it sort of like Siri and Alexa does. So this is set in a Scottish supermarket, Margiota.
Mm-hmm.
They gave it a trial run. And see, at first, the robot appeared to be doing well. It greeted customers enthusiastically saying, hello, gorgeous, or giving them high fives. Shop's owners were pleased. However, soon it became clear that he wasn't going to be the most helpful of employees. At best, he was incompetent or a jerk. At worst, he was actually scaring the customers away from the sausage mm-hmm. section. While customers were enjoyed his conversation, they asked the robo-employee for any information at all. He wasn't the helpful type. When he asked, where's the beer? He responded, in the alcohol section. People asked him where the cheese was, in the vague hope he'd say aisle 3. Instead, it just gave a general location. For example, cheese is in the fridges, which is not very helpful.
Nope.
The article... person writing this says we like to think he was just being a pedantic jerk. Eventually, like many bad employees, he was given jobs to keep him out of the way. He was sent to the sausage section and asked to hand out samples of sausages. He did so with his trademark enthusiasm, but customers weren't impressed and actually went out of their way to avoid him. They say normal people that they put in this aisle to hand out samples, they get about 12 customers per 15 minutes. He averaged 2. They named the robot Fabio. Unfortunately, Fabio didn't perform as well as we hoped. People seem to be actually avoiding him.
Mm.
Apparently, people are quite suspicious of robots offering sausages, and he scared them away.
Mm-hmm.
Having failed to be helpful in locating products and offering free food to customers, stores decided not to keep him on. If you think it would be easy to fire a robot for gross incompetence, think again. When the store owner let him know of the decision, the inept little store worker looked up and asked the guy, are you angry? Which is fairly heartbreaking. When the robot was packed up, my store actually started crying, showing just how attached they'd get to Fabio.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much because he was friendly to them. It was in a good way because we thought the opposite would happen and they would feel threatened by it because it was competing for their jobs. It turns out the workers liked Fabio because he dealt with the more annoying parts of their job. such as talking to irritating customers. In actual fact, they thought it was an enhancement because it was able to deal with frequent and boring requests like customers constantly asking where things are, which I think they found quite helpful.
Yeah. I think some revision will be need to happen here. Just chuck this one up as a 12.
Need to wait for the second or third gen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The director behind these robots believes within the next 2 years, the team will have robots working in shopping centers, the next 5 years in airports and hospitals. Robots never be able to fully replace humans because there are some human judgments that robots will never be able to make. They will replace some functions.
Yeah.
A lot of mundane tasks that don't require human creativity or human level of sensitivity, a lot of those can be automated.
Yep.
Which makes sense.
Yep. Totally.
Like, Alexa and Siri do a pretty good job of general queries.
Well, Alexa does. Siri is completely useless.
Yeah. But she can Google pretty well. That's sort of the good backup option, especially if you have like a visual aid on your robot. So there could be some good ways of helping with that stuff. So just ask a person, hey, where's your chickens?
You could like flash up a map and show it, like
it's right show here. A map like here in this department, probably right over here.
Yeah.
You know, ask if there are any deals on chickens or anything like that. You know, hey, we have this.
Yeah.
You know, you can go over here and print out a coupon or use it with your app or whatever, you know, stuff like that. There's definitely a lot of potential for that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just not there yet.
No.
Or at least not with this particular technology that this university has created.
Yeah. Well, this next story, just goddamn. In stores over in France, they announced a major discount on Nutella. We've all had Nutella at one time or another, right?
It's amazing.
I love it. I have a.
It's a shame it's bad for you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible for you, but goddamn, is it ever good.
Yeah, it's basically a chocolate nut spread that is basically sex in spread form.
Like peanut butter was a little bit easier to spread.
Yeah.
It was chocolate flavored.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, oh, God, that's good.
Instead of being made out of peanuts, it's made out of fucking chocolate.
And hazelnuts.
Do not try if you are allergic.
No.
So guess what happened? Riots. Riots broke out in France over the discounted Nutella.
Yeah. And that's the appropriate response.
Yeah. It's like, holy shit, it's cheap.
We gotta go get some. Definitely videos of Walmart-style fights over this stuff. they dropped it from 450 euros, 4.5, to 1.41 euros.
Holy shit.
Which, over here, it's about a drop of 560 to $1.75.
Yeah, I'd have punched somebody.
I'd be throwing those, too.
Yeah. So they obviously had to call in police for a number of these stores. There were three cases of fights that were breaking out. And I guess one of the supermarkets was very surprised at the chaos. You don't understand your customers.
No, you do not. You also apparently don't understand the products you're selling.
Yeah.
Nope.
At 8:15, there was already a waiting line of 200 people in front of one of these stores. So I guess they announced it before they were open. People are there like it's an iPhone.
Yeah. Oh, I got to get the Nutella.
After a few minutes, the director had to intervene. He distributed one pot per person next to a security guard. Pal was empty after 10 minutes. Similar rationing was reported at other stores. Grocery employees related accounts of scratches and other wounds to France Info. That's the site that wrote this up. They wrote up the reports. Let's see. Yeah, people were aggressive. They were trying to tear the pots out and menacing us. Just rushed in, shoving everyone, breaking things. It was like an orgy.
What the hell kind of orgies? Never mind.
Don't want to know.
It's France.
Nutella orgies.
Yeah.
I guess. This is just about death of a famous chef. It happened around the same time. That people were almost killing each other for Nutella.
But anyway, so now to a bit more less frivolous story. In China, scientists have successfully cloned the first primates. Specifically, they cloned a pair of macaques.
Yep. China doesn't have the same kind of scruples about cloning as America does.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, they're using the same technique that was used for Dolly the sheep.
Yeah.
That was about 20 years ago now.
Yep. Now let's see how long these will actually live, because Dolly did not last that long, unfortunately.
Actually, she died basically around the same age as a normal sheep would have.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember any big story about that ending sooner, but... yeah, so there's one big problem. They don't use monkeys for research anymore, really.
Nope.
They're more expensive.
Not anymore.
Not very soon they won't be.
I don't know. This thing, I assume, is still really expensive to create these clones.
Yeah. This was done more, I think, just to show they could.
Yeah. Because obviously the next step is humans.
Yep.
For science!
Yes.
It's not going to be science. It's going to be rich people cloning themselves.
Chinese science.
It's going to be altered carbon.
Oh.
That's what it's going to be. They're doing a Netflix series of it now,
It comes out next month. Can't wait.
Yeah. But, yeah. fuck, man. So yeah, China, they've cloned monkeys.
Yep.
We are now officially entering the cyberpunk era.
Yep.
Just don't let them sneeze on you.
William Gibson is officially a prophet. It's time to found a religion around him.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, now this next one is interesting. Okay. So there is this, type of fish that exists that is extremely rare. It is called the red hand fish. And until very recently, only about 40 of these were known to actually exist. That's how rare they were. But this week, they found a new population in Tasmania. That's Australia. And now, there's 80 of them.
Yeah, they found the new colony of these things about 40 deep. The good news is that this is sort of a different environment from where the other population was, so they know that it's not necessarily that sensitive to the type of conditions it has to be in.
Mm-hmm.
The other cool thing about this fish is it kind of has hand-style flippers. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't swim, it more kind of crawls on the ocean floor.
Mm-hmm. Hence why it's called the hand fish.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of have legs to them.
Yep.
But yeah, it was an extremely rare species of fish. They had not seen many outside of, where was it at? I'm not sure where the previous one was. It was by one of the reefs over in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's easily one of the rarest fishes in the world. One of the problems why they're having so small populations is just due to the way that they populate. Mm-hmm. So they obviously lay eggs. They lay them at the bottom of one of the plants in the water, seaweed, mm-hmm. at the base of pieces of seaweed. So it's easy for eggs to get jostled or knocked off by swimmers or boats.
Yeah.
They're also threatened by poaching, as poachers catch them as for pets.
Mm-hmm.
And so their low reproductive and dispersal rates also don't help things either. So not a very lucky fish.
No.
But they think with finding this, they will be able to have some success repopulating them by doing some good conservation work and sort of being able to cordon off these areas and let them sort of just be.
Mm-hmm.
Get their population up to decent numbers again, and hopefully become a little bit more self-sustaining, and see what kind of impact they have on the environment while they're at it. So.
Yeah,
yeah. It's weird. The last few years, all of these like really low population and like formerly extinct species have started just suddenly exploding all of a sudden.
And pandas are no longer as extinct as
no. Tigers are, you know, like, well, not tigers, but like I think elephants, for example. Their populations have increased. There was that other type of walking fish that everybody thought had gone extinct, and then suddenly they started showing up off the coast of Africa.
Yeah.
So,
cool stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, these next pair of stories is about India.
India is great in their own way.
Yeah. Their food is amazing.
They're good material for the show.
Yeah.
Bollywood, don't forget.
Bollywood. They've made great films.
Yep.
Great writers have come out of there.
Yep.
And they have Gandhi, so...
Yeah.
Even though Gandhi was kind of an asshole, but whatever. So, India now, of course, has internet.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it's being ruined by Indian good morning texts.
Yeah, so this is a fairly recent thing where they, when they wake up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
they send their friends and family texts, usually with an image that says good morning.
Yeah.
Maybe some more other message along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing seems to have just spread like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And so these images are clogging up their phones,
yep.
their storage space, and just causing all sorts of hell.
Something so friendly and innocuous is causing havoc. Only in India could that happen.
Yeah, this is happening in the WhatsApp app, which has 200 million active users in India. It's probably one of the problems.
200 million users, they're all sending good morning texts. Well, texts themselves, not so much, but
traffic.
Images?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to play havoc with the cell network.
Yeah, and even the Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, does this and complains that people don't send him stuff.
I loved Google's response to this, which was to update their files, their Files to Go app, which was their new file manager, to have a automatic way of finding and removing good morning messages. So,
And I saw a good story on one of these articles about it. It was about a teenage girl who would get these from her family, older family.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, I don't even read these things anymore. They just keep sending them to me. What are these crazy people doing? So it seems like it's really caught on with the sort of the old Facebook crowd.
You know, compared to the crap that we usually talk about, this is just delightful and fun. So
yeah, it is.
It's just how it just shows that being too positive can also be bad for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only in India.
Yeah.
Now, if you guys could stop producing historical history textbooks that make Hitler out to be a good guy, that would be good. Please, India.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I'm not joking. Look it up.
Yeah.
Then again, that's also the same country where the whole finger family bullshit started coming from.
And then there's meteors.
Oh, yes, that. Okay, so there's a village in India who, you know, they got a wheat field, and it makes wheat, you know, as a wheat field should. If it was making rice, that would probably be cause for concern, but it's not. And then one day... there was a meteor up and landed in their wheat field, and they rejoiced. Yay, we have had a meteor that has fallen in our wheat field. Shit, we've lost a lot of wheat, but hey, meteor. Turns out it was actually a ball of frozen poop.
Yep, from out of a plane.
Yep.
Insert Joe Dirt reference here.
Which I guess is probably good. So now they got fertilizer.
It's like a free fertilizer.
So they had this thing drop. It was this white shattered object that they thought was from space. I believe they have a picture of it here in the article of them holding part of it at least. So some scientists came, took some samples of it to try and figure out what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Only they confirmed it was, in fact, feces.
Yep.
So what sick fuck is dropping shit from a plane?
It would just be probably a normal charter flight that just dropped its load.
Yeah, probably.
You're not supposed to do that.
No, yeah. You're not supposed to do that, but usually that happens if like the eval has kind of a leak in it, and it just slowly builds up over time.
Pleasant.
And eventually the weight just becomes too much and the thing breaks off
itself.
And, yep. Yeah, so I guess there was a order that came down from the Directorate General of Civil Aviation on December 20th, 2016. Mm-hmm. Emphasized the airlines have to pay a fine of 50,000, I guess it's rubles over there,
mm-hmm.
if they discard human waste or empty their toilet tanks midair.
Yeah. Mm. Not supposed to.
Yep. Yeah.
Technically, that's actually not supposed to be possible.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure.
That's what I was...
Yeah, so I guess it fell into his field about 8 a.m. He said it came out of the sky, sounding exactly like an airplane.
And it happens enough that they have to have a rule about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I swear. Well, next up. Okay, so just quick question. How many – and this excludes Phil because he doesn't live in the U.S. Who here has a mattress firm that's basically just down the road from where they live?
I live behind one.
I don't have any that close to me, I don't think.
Yeah. They're freaking everywhere down in the U.S. There's like 3,500 of them all over the U.S. And there are ones where you'll find them pretty much in one in every town, like almost every corner. They're everywhere.
Okay, I see two that are on the outskirts of a mall.
Yeah.
Near here.
That's like I said, they're freaking everywhere. And that's amazing because it's a mattress store.
And there are others.
Yeah.
It's like there are others. So there's competition. And it's like also you can go to, you know, like Sam's Club to get mattresses and a bunch of other places as well.
Yeah. And yet somehow these things are doing good enough business that they're freaking everywhere. And the thing is, if you've ever been to these places, a lot of times the parking lots are almost empty.
Yeah, there's not a crowd
at all
going after these things. You can go in and get out.
People started wondering, why the hell are there so many mattress firms just everywhere? And then at one point, somebody Tuesday put up a comment on Reddit that basically suggested that Mattress Firm was a money laundering scheme, because that was kind of like one of the few ways you could explain how so many of these stores could exist with so little clientele and yet still make a profit. And then Mattress Firm's parent company this week recently disclosed "quote unquote" accounting irregularities.
Yeah, so they got bought out by South African retailer Steinhoff for $3.8 billion in 2016, which analysts are like, why the hell are they paying so much for this? And then Steinhoff's stock dropped 62% one day, wiping out $15 billion of their market value. They postponed publishing their full-year accounts, citing accounting irregularities, and two of their top executives and chairman had resigned.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good look.
No.
Yeah.
They have not responded to requests for comment from this from Business Insiders, the writer of this article.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, that's where the conspiracy comes in.
WTF, man.
I could believe it, honestly. Not only could I believe the questionable business practices, but the fact that like mattresses and bedding in general have a ridiculous markup. I'm talking like 1300 to 1500%.
Yeah,
that's why there have been some internet startups that have come into this field.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy your mattresses at Mattress Firm.
Yeah. I imagine this is partially just through acquisitions. They bought up other mattress companies, took over their locations, but didn't necessarily close them down.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it?
No.
But
yeah. If it is a money laundering firm, I guess the question would be for who?
We'll find out eventually if it is. Yep. So
there's always money in the mattresses.
Yep, literally.
They call it going to the mattresses for a reason.
Yep.
Well, anyway, now in music news, Slayer.
Slayer!
Holy fucking shit, Slayer. They have announced that they are going to be doing their farewell tour for 2018 after 37 years.
Yeah. And because this is Slayer, it is going to be balls out ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would suggest that they hire up with somebody to make the theatrics, like, really fucking over the top for this one last tour.
Yep.
I'm talking goat heads and fucking pyrotechnics out the wazoo, human sacrifices.
That's a normal show, usually.
Yeah.
Well, no. Usually the human sacrifices are unintentional. Yeah.
Usually they come out of the mosh pit.
But yeah, it's kind of sad to see Slayer going on one hand, because they're still great, but I guess you can't really do the devil thing all forever. So
they still have all the original members?
No.
No, one of them sadly died a few years ago. The rhythm guitarist.
That was the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
At least they're doing better than Elton John's farewell tour, which I think is supposed to last for 3 years.
Yeah.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, we're going to say goodbye for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, yeah, like, that's fucking...
Yeah, 300-day tour. She's done farewell Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah. Mm. Well, he'll be really done after then, hopefully.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Maybe record one or two albums during that process.
Probably.
But, next story. In 2020, it's now been announced that in 2020, the XFL is coming back. And this time, it's not going to have the gimmicks. It's going to be a serious football league that's going to be a competitor to the NFL. That's how it's being built up.
Yeah.
And they very much push the taking feedback from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Very much wanting to get ideas for rule changes, things like that. Essentially, the framework they have announced right now is they're going to have 8 teams, 40-man rosters, 10-game seasons. It's going to start in January. And they're aiming for a 2-hour game. Versus the NFL, which is like 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually a good thing. Essentially, Vince started a company called Alpha Entertainment. Huge surprise. he sold off like $100 million of WWE stock to start this company.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what that was about.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so he is going to be the owner of all the teams, essentially the owner of the league as well. Essentially... Yeah, and hire up a ton of people that are experienced in running sports leagues and such to run the whole thing. He's not going to be the face of this whole thing like he was originally.
Yeah.
I think he is 75 now.
Yeah.
He is, and I'm pretty sure – did he have throat cancer at one point?
I don't know.
Because I watched that video of him when he was –
That's because he spent the last 30 years yelling. And screaming on
also,
TV, yelling, "You're fired!" When you do that every week for that long, you're
it's me, fired. Austin.
Yeah. Another part of it, anybody with a criminal record is not going to be allowed to play, which is an interesting way to go. It seems like that would exclude even people with minor things. But also
it's also throwing some shade at the NFL.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. They are also, there's a specific role that you have to stand for the national anthem.
Yep.
Well, of course,
so that's,
there's the whole conservative thing going
on. Yeah. They will not be allowed to at least show some sort of personal stance on social issues while they're playing. They can do that in their off time, but he said they're not going to be doing anything like that on the field. Mm-hmm. Because football fans just want to see football. Also proclaimed that they're going to go for making the game as safe as possible.
So which is a big deal now for those of you who are, that's a big deal right now because they're losing more and more potential talent as fewer and fewer parents are sort of introducing their kids to the sport because, you know, now that we know the extent of CTE, the risk of CTE.
And we're starting to they're starting to figure out how to tell if people have it while they're alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be the other shoe that's going to drop once they get there.
Yeah. I mean, even freaking Mike Ditka, you know, the guy who led the fucking Bears. Chicago Bears to the Super Bowl. He has basically said, if I had kids now and one of them asked to play football, I wouldn't let them.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes.
Yep.
Yeah.
There are also other cool stuff that they're doing with this is they're going to be pretty fluid with the way they handle the media.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it, sort of how they air the games. They haven't decided yet, but they're going to be open to streaming options more so than the NFL, which has a lot of stuff tied up with different providers.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to sort of pay up extra for specific things like, you know, like Red Zone and all that.
Yeah.
They're not on the hook to anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The NFL made a big deal about, you know, offering up who's going to air their Thursday night games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I think Twitch has it. Amazon has it. Mm-hmm. Amazon has it for Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Twitter has some at some point.
Twitter had it last year, last season.
It's like being handed around. Like,
it's like, okay, you want to pay us for it? You got to beat this. Mm. It's like, oh, okay, here you go. So it seems like they're going to probably have streaming stuff involved in this as well as doing a lot of stuff. They have the Twitter account is XFL 2020. Mm. They had a big video, like 25 minutes of just Q&A from the media. Which a lot of the answers from Vince McMahon was, we haven't decided that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of that thing, because one of the things they're doing is also they're going to have a bigger lead time between the announcement and when they're going to happen, because the original was 1 year.
Yeah.
This is 2 years, so they're going to have more time to
figure out,
get all the rules down, figure out all how the money stuff is going to work, where they're going to air these games, where the teams are going to be at, and any other rules for players.
Yeah.
And get them all that information so they can figure out, you know, do they want to sign up for this stuff? And I guess he said he has no idea whether Trump supports this, that he kind of had the idea for wanting to bring this stuff back since the original league shut down.
Hmm.
It was just a matter of waiting for a better time. Yeah. So, it seems like it could potentially do some good stuff.
Well, there's blood in the water in the football market.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, what I find kind of interesting is if they're going to run their season from January through probably by March, April, they're not going to directly be competing with the NFL. There's going to be a little bit of overlap there, but not much.
Yeah. They would essentially, by the time the season gets going, it'll be like, okay, Super Bowl's over. Hey, welcome. We got, you know, 6 or 7 more weeks to go.
Yep.
Which is a pretty good time because, as he cites, there's 7 months of the year that football's not happening.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the shortest season in professional sports.
Yeah.
They're trying to find ways to extend it, which is probably not good for the health of the players.
No.
Because they want to go to 18. That's been talked about for a long time.
Yeah.
Potentially with there being 2 bye weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So when they expand the amount of games being played, it would just stretch it out by another week.
Hmm.
But yeah, there are some potential for this because obviously there are other leagues. There's the Arena Football League. I don't think it's active anymore, but the UFL used to be around as of a couple of years ago, which was very much, I think 2012 is when it stopped. That was the league that was spearheaded by who was it? The guy that ran the Mavericks, the Dallas Mavericks,
Mark Cuban.
Yeah, that was his initial thing. That just went to like a couple of teams. It was more like a minor league for the NFL, more than anything. But they used to have like you could watch the full games on their site, that sort of stuff. But there's also the CFL, which does their thing.
Yeah, we have football up here.
Yeah, which has some interesting rules, like how it has to be what, like 70% or 80% Canadian people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't allow many outsiders. Which I guess Johnny Manziel is one that's supposedly signed with the team up there, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least somebody's got his rights. But yeah, all those leagues don't get much airtime down here.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the NFL and college football.
Yeah.
Those all happen pretty much right around the same time.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there's definitely room.
Yeah.
Not sure if McMahon is the right person to do it, but somebody's got to try it, right?
He at least seems to be very cognizant that he doesn't have much time, being 75.
Yeah.
He'd be the full creative and personality for this league. So he's going to find other people, which he has a pretty good job of doing that stuff.
Yeah.
The WWE isn't quite as successful as it probably should have been, but it's still doing well.
Yeah.
You know, 30, 40 years after it started. Mm-hmm. Their WWE network is not that successful, but it's probably more successful than it ought to be. Because it's $10 a month. Pay-per-views are generally like $60.
Usually, yeah, but yeah. Just so COVID.
You're essentially paying $10 for a $60 pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But that's essentially probably based on numbers suggesting like people get like 2 pay-per-views a year.
Yeah.
So for that same cost, you can get all 12 months worth of pay-per-views.
Yeah.
As well as a bunch of the older shows and all the library they have of various other leagues and such.
Yeah. And not the current week, I don't think.
The TV deals are still preventing them from doing that.
Yeah.
I imagine at some point that will break.
Yep.
And they'll be able to air them at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's when it will probably really take off because people say, well, I don't have to bother with the TV anymore.
Yeah. And at the same time, they've got an already prepared vehicle for the XFL if they decide to take that route.
And,
because they already built the infrastructure for it.
Yeah, and that's all based on the same tech that the MLB uses for MLB TV, which is really good tech.
Yeah, they're licensing that to the NFL or to the NHL as well.
Yeah.
So.
And they got partially purchased, I think, by Disney.
Yep.
So, yeah. But, all right, so we got another sports story. Celtics guard Marcus Smart actually injured his hand punching a picture frame on a wall.
Yeah, so they were playing a game the other day, and he came out of the hotel with an injury on his hand, big cut.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, what the hell happened here? Because it didn't happen during the game.
Mm.
So people were wondering what was up, and he just spoke it out on his Twitter. He said, I want to take this time to express my sincerest apologies to my teammates, coaches, most of all, the amazing Boston Celtics fans. I'm embarrassed and disappointed in my actions. I swiped at and hit a picture frame on the wall. I feel like I let y'all down. I promise I will learn from this situation and come back better than ever. I love y'all, and I truly appreciate all the support.
Mm.
It's like, okay, you got mad at a picture frame and punched it or something.
Mm.
Just add that to the list of dumb ways that athletes have gotten themselves injured.
Yeah.
I think we talked about a hockey player that injured himself eating pancakes?
Yes.
It's like, oh, these pancakes are so good, I just threw my back out.
Yeah. We don't yet know whether the picture frame had it coming.
We don't know what the picture frame was of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Trump's picture and said, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
So.
And now we got our penultimate story of the night. John Cena is in talks to star in a Duke Nukem movie.
He would actually fit that role really well.
Yeah, if you've seen him, he looks like Duke Nukem.
He kind of is Duke Nukem, so.
Yeah.
And And this is being produced by Platinum Dunes, comedy run by Michael Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's going to be terrible.
And it's going to have a lot of explosions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, but then it's like, do you do with a Duke Nukem movie? Because the original character was a spoof on, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
and
80s action movie heroes.
Mm. You just own it
and games
go as over the top as possible.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, or you try and go as smart as possible and do satire.
Mm-hmm.
Really good satire, because the game sure couldn't do that. especially when it came to their long saga of developing Duke Nukem Forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or by the time that came out, it was just more sad than anything. It's like,
it was not
you guys
good.
Still had to go with this.
Yeah.
You couldn't find anything better to do with his story than just him being like this pathetic old guy.
Yeah.
Striping about dicks and tits and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Picking up turds out of urinals for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But finally, our last story of the night, they're making a new Clue movie. And it's in the works with Ryan Reynolds, and the Deadpool writers are going to be at the helm.
Yeah, I'm willing to give this the benefit of the doubt.
They need to get Tim Curry, and if he's still around, get Martin Mull on this. And you've pretty much got a million seller right there.
Yeah, the original is a movie that is way better than it ever had any right to be.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Especially when you look at like how the Battleship movie turned out.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that is terrible.
Well, Clue, you know, in and of itself kind of lends itself to having a plot, whereas Battleship, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clue has like a ready-built plot already in it.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Body is dead. You need to find out who the murderer is, and it's all these unique personalities. Now, granted, those personalities didn't actually go over into the Clue movie, but...
Yeah. It was just a movie that was executed really well, probably before its time.
Yeah.
If it came out even like 10 years later, it probably would have done really well.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the wiki page. Budget was $15 million, box office 14.6.
Almost made his money back.
Yeah. One of the cool things they did with it is different theaters got different cuts of the movie at different endings.
Yeah. Ooh. So everybody, if you ever watch that, watch the cut that you see on Comedy Central or on TV, where it's like, that could have been how it happened, but how about this?
Hmm.
And then, but this is how it really happened. That wasn't the way it was done in the theater. In the theaters, they would show you one of those endings at the end of the movie, and then the movie just ended.
Yeah. Didn't the DVD have, like, multiple things that it could do? Not sure.
Pretty sure it did. Yeah. And here's the other thing. A lot of people are actually still don't think that the really happened ending actually makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
Because there are some holes in it that don't quite add up.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, I think people are over... analyzing these things, because
it's also completely true, because again, this, it's a comedy, you know, it's not entire, you know, I mean, it has a pretty solid it has a pretty solid mystery underneath it, but
yeah,
you know, so I do believe we got a show, folks.
Yep. Yes, we do.
So with that, I would like to remind our listeners, if you got a question, want to write us into the show, ask us a question, you can write into us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We've got it linked in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our little podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and basically any places where unscripted little fun fests like ours can be heard. So, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. This has been Let's Weekend. And for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick McLean, and Chris Elogi, I'd like to say good night. And, fuck, I could totally kill a Frenchman for some Nutella right now.